All right, take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me to Luke chapter 15, Luke 15, for the message tonight. While you're turning, one of our church members heard me talking about installing an amen button up here, so he got me one. All right, I'll just use this mic here, okay?
Amen!
All right, and this one here, I'll let you listen to it. This.
Preach it, brother.
There you go. All right. All right, we're good now. You can't hear it. I went to get a microphone, that's for sure.
Amen.
There we go. Isn't that cute? ask and you shall receive. All right, let's begin reading in the 11th verse, and I want to read the whole story here of the prodigal and his older brother. It was not broken into halves. They go together, so we'll read several verses down to the end of the chapter. But beginning here in the 11th verse, well, let's go back to verse 1 and 2. In verse 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans." Now, that's not republicans, all right? A publican was a tax collector, all right? Publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, that's not Democrats. Well, I better leave that alone, hadn't I? Verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." So in the eyes of the Pharisees, the tax collectors, the publicans, and the rest of anybody who wasn't a Pharisee, all right, they viewed them as sinners. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake. So he starts speaking. There's no break in the parables that he gives. So we pick up the parable of the prodigal son in verse 11. So look at your Bible, please. Verse 11 says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." All right, so two sons, the younger says to the father, "Give me my portion of the inheritance. I want to cash out." That's what he's saying. I want cash. Cash in my portion. And then give me the cash. So he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, and here's where we go from the younger to the older. Now, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That's an amazing parable. And I want us to pray, and then we're going to look tonight at the prodigal's older brother. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, we never cease to be amazed at what is in this book and verses that we have read and read and read. And yet there are things in these verses that you open our understanding to, and you give us a blessed heart as a result. And Father, we're so thankful for the Word. And I pray that you will bless the Word of God tonight as it's preached. And Lord, give us all understanding hearts and minds. May we receive the Word with gladness tonight. And Father, I just pray the Holy Spirit will meet needs in our hearts and give us what we need this evening and stir our hearts with your truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things, and amen. We are all familiar with the story, the parable of the prodigal son. We know his story well. I have, as I said a moment ago, preached about him and from this passage of Scripture several times through the years. But I want us tonight to look at the prodigal's older brother. You know, there are several things in these few verses. The story of the older brother starts in verse 25 and goes through verse 32. Just a few verses, but there are several things in these few verses which point to what kind of person this older brother was. Especially when you compare him side by side with his younger brother. And of course, the Lord Jesus, who is telling the story here, our Lord Jesus had a sharp eye and was very careful to point out things about his character that once I call them to your attention, I think you will see that he saw something in this man and he called it out. He told us about it, but if you don't think about it, you'll just read right over the story and miss it. For instance, the older brother was a diligent individual. He was a diligent man. And I say that because if you look at the story, he was just getting back from working all day long in the field when his hapless brother comes rolling into town. All right? He's been in the field working, and the prodigal is just coming home. The prodigal was returning from his debauchery, and the older brother is coming in from working all day long. And no doubt this boy had been busy since the early hours, keeping a watchful eye on all that would be his inheritance once his aged father had passed away. And now, as the sun was going down and the party is in full swing, the older son comes home finally to rest from his day's labor. So he was a diligent individual. But not only was he a diligent man, but the Lord also points out another favorable character. His diligence is the first favorable character that our Lord points out. But we can also glean from the text another attribute, I guess you could say, of this older brother. And that attribute is the fact that he was a faithful and obedient son. He was a faithful and obedient son. You see, he could say to the father with a perfectly clear conscience, and you will notice that the father does not question what he says, but with a perfectly clear conscience that he had never transgressed against his father. Oh, his little brother, by contrast, had taken his father's inheritance and, taken cash money right out of his father's old and feeble hand, left home and wasted it and almost completely ruined his own life. And no doubt standing there with his younger brother, it was obvious to see the stains of sin and the world all over the younger brother. But this brother, the older brother, could honestly say to his father that he had never done anything to transgress or to shame his father. Now, it was these good qualities that our Lord points out to make sure that all of us see them. Good things. These are honorable traits. To be a diligent person. I mean to be a hard worker. And to be faithful and obedient to your duties and to your responsibilities and to your family. Those are honorable traits. And our Lord points those out while he's telling the story of the older brother. But the strange thing about this parable, and the strange thing about our Lord, was how he could get beneath the exterior of an individual and very precisely could reveal the innermost parts of that person. You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but we know the Bible teaches us that God looks on the heart. And here's the Lord telling the story about these brothers, and he could look beyond the exterior, which is what people saw, and people saw a diligent soul. They saw a faithful and obedient soul, but the Lord, quick to tell us about those good attributes, could also see precisely what the heart condition of that older brother was. He could, with just a few words, go deeper, so far deeper than just the exterior, which is what man looks upon, and he could reveal in an instant what was in the hidden recesses of a person's heart. And that's exactly what he does here in this chapter with the older brother. So that you and I, when we read it and read it intently, we can see the real man. The Lord reveals him so clearly and exposes his heart and his innermost secrets that when we read these few verses, should we run into this man on the street, we might feel like we have already met him. The Lord gets right down to the nitty-gritty with him. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how so? Let me give you three things that our Lord reveals about this man that I think you'll see them clearly when I point them out to you in the text. But there are three things that are not such glowing good attributes. These are not what men see. This is what God saw when God looked on the man's heart. You see the difference? On the outward, he was a diligent man. He was obedient and faithful. Everybody that knew him saw him in that light. But when the Lord looked at him, the Lord saw something else. I want to give you three things the Lord Jesus saw, and I think I can back them up with Scripture. The first thing the Lord saw in him was this. He saw a man who was unappreciative of his privileges in life. He saw a man who was unappreciative of his privileges in life. I can remember my dad saying to me several times, and I never really understood what he was saying, but I'm thankful that he said it because the day came when I did understand what he was saying. But I can remember my dad saying to me many, many times as I was growing up, son, don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget where you came from. You know, folks, we are a blessed and privileged society. We have been blessed and we are a privileged people. When I was in China a couple of years ago, everywhere we went there, the people wanted to know about life in America. They were fascinated by it. They had seen life in America on television, and they would ask questions, is it really this way? Do you really have this? And is this available? And can you really do this? And they were just amazed at all the things that we have here in this country of ours. They were amazed at our freedoms. I remember a couple of preachers sitting around at a table, and they started asking questions, and one of them said, do you need a passport to go from state to state? And I said, well, no. Well, are there checkpoints? Not yet. There's not. No. No. You can just go from... you live in Maryland, right? I said, yes. You can just go from Maryland into Pennsylvania or Maryland into Virginia, and nobody stops you. Nobody wants to know what you're doing there. And I said, no, we can travel freely. And they just could not believe it. We are a blessed and privileged society. I mean, no matter how you slice it. When we talked about our cars and our houses, and they ask questions about what do you heat your home with? And we said, well, we have a furnace. And they said, a furnace? Yeah. Explain that. And you tell them what a furnace was. And they were just amazed by it. People out in the country in China, they had no idea what we were talking about, having a furnace and air conditioning in your house. And they were amazed by that. Oh, you sure are lucky to be American. You sure are lucky to be American. And I came home from that trip realizing how privileged we are to live in this country. I mean, we are a privileged people. And you know, I think this older brother was the kind of person who did not appreciate what he had. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I want you to think about this. Every day, he had his father's company. Every day. Every day, he lived each and every day with a father who did everything that he ever did in life because of his love for his sons. What a privilege that is to have somebody that cares for you that much. His Father's love was around him constantly. And all the Father had, according to what the Father said, was his. I mean, the Father told him that, all that I have is yours. And yet, in the midst of all this wealth of privilege that was his, we find a young man who had an ungrateful heart. You say, Pastor, where does it say he had an ungrateful heart? It says it in verse 29 when he had the audacity to, in his privilege, look at his father and say to him, "Thou never gavest me a kid. You never roasted a lamb for me. You didn't do this for me." And folks, that little statement very clearly shows us his unappreciative heart. I think that one statement is very telling about who this older brother was. In my opinion, this little statement uncovers what was in this older brother's heart. Whenever anybody just boils over like that, you know, when what's on the inside just blurts out of them, there's just this extemporaneous statement that comes out of their mouth. And, really, when that happens, it's not as extemporaneous as it may seem. It's really, when that happens, what it usually means that what was just said has been simmering on the heart for a long, long time. He had been sitting around stewing over this for a while. And it didn't just come out all of a sudden. It had been on his heart for a while. With a generous hand, the father had given this boy everything. And after his outburst, the father reminded him in verse 31, "Son, I don't know why you say that. All that I have is thine." And yet the boy had been brooding over the one thing that was never given. And you know, I think there are a lot of people just like that. I mean, God has been so wonderfully good to them. But because some one thing has been withheld from them, they feel that God has mistreated them. They get bitter towards God. They feel slighted by God. They find themselves with a growing older in their Christian life with a bitter heart. And yet they might be just as diligent and just as faithful to their work, and just as obedient as was the older brother. But yet, there's that nagging in their heart that God has mistreated them in some way. Hey, Christian, look at your life tonight. Has not God been good to you? And has not God blessed you in untold ways? I mean, you have a home, you have a family. Your family may not be perfect, nobody's is. But you all love each other. You have a job. You are relatively healthy. You have food on the table. You have a car in the parking lot. But ask yourself if maybe there is something deep in your heart which causes you to have some resentment towards God. Maybe in spite of all of God's goodness that has come your way, you feel like somehow, some way, God, through the years, has been unfair to you. Well, be careful with that, Christian. Be careful with harboring those kind of selfish thoughts. They can easily cause a root of bitterness to take hold in your heart. I like what Paul said. He said, "Be content with what you've got." Amen. That's sometimes something we ought to think about. Amen. Let me give you a second attribute. Number two. We not only see in him a man who was unappreciative of his privileges, but the Lord saw something else in him that I want us to see. The Lord saw in him a man who had a hardened heart toward his brother. Man, this guy's got a bad spirit towards his brother. Oh, he was diligent. He was obedient and faithful, all good qualities. But he was hardened towards his brother. And this hardness that was in his heart reveals itself in his answer to his father. There is one simple little thing that reveals just how hardened this man's heart was toward his little brother. And that one thing is that when he speaks, the word brother is never in his vocabulary. Have you noticed that? Look at verse 30. In verse 30, he does not say to the father, my brother has returned, but instead he says to his father, this thy son is returned. You see the difference? You know, when our kids were growing up, if they ever did anything wrong, Joshua was my son. If the girls were ever doing anything wrong, your daughter. See? And that's the way this guy felt. He does not identify with his brother. This thy son. And you know, sometimes a word or the absence of a word truly shines the light upon what's hidden in the heart. The prodigal was his father's son. Nothing could change that relationship. He refers to the relationship between the father and the prodigal, but it is not a relationship that he is willing to deal with. He wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't want to identify with it. He says, thy son. And you know, it's almost uttered with clenched teeth when he says it. With a sneer. He says it with anger in his heart. With all the malice that his heart can produce. And you know, a sneer can often be deadlier than a sword. But you will notice he never uses the word brother. I mean, that endearing word left his heart a long time ago, because the love that it carried had died out of his heart a long time ago. In the older brother's mind, the prodigal was no more his brother. He's not my brother. I'm not identifying with him. He's not my family. That relationship was long gone. The older brother wanted nothing to do with his ne'er-do-well younger sibling. Yet even with this bitter heart, I want you to notice the Lord is so careful to remind us that this older brother was a man of diligence and a man who had an industrious heart. He was a man who was faithful. He was a man who was obedient. Notice the contrast. How searching is the eye of the Savior. How clearly he sees even into the depths of our hearts. Now don't forget, this was being told to a bunch of Pharisees. And these Pharisees were criticizing Jesus for fellowshipping with sinners. Verse 2. So, you know, they're criticizing. What they're doing is they're standing off to the side like, they're so much better. And they're criticizing Jesus for fellowshipping with these old sinners. I think the Pharisees thought that they were the human models that all the rest of society were to be patterned after. That is, until the Lord eventually revealed what was hidden in the dark recesses of their hearts. Do you remember that last week when Jesus was in Jerusalem right before the crucifixion? And in Luke chapter 20 and 21 and 22, over here in Matthew, the Lord gets these Pharisees, they start asking him questions. And all of a sudden, the Lord just stood up and he points his finger at them and he lets them have it. He tells them about what's in their hearts. Nobody around there saw that. Nobody saw that until Jesus pointed it out. Whited sepulchers? Whitewashed sepulchers? What's a sepulcher? It's a grave. They're just full of dead men's bones. Wow, what an indictment. I mean, he did not let up on them. He just kept it coming. And when he preached that sermon that day, I mean, when he tore into them, it left them standing exposed for what was really in their hearts, because that's where Jesus sees. That's what he sees. And folks, so you must remember that this parable was spoken to the Pharisees. It was designed to expose what was in their hearts. They were diligent, right? Oh yeah, they were diligent, man. They followed that law to a T. They were diligent, but the sin that was deep in their hearts, which men couldn't see, the sin of pride, arrogance, jealousy, the sins of envy and bitterness, just like the older son here, caused them to be miserable in their existence. Well, at least the younger prodigal came to his senses and cried out in verse 18, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. But sadly, you will notice that there's no repentance that comes from the older prodigal, from the older son. Yeah, I said the older prodigal. There's two prodigals in this story, the younger and the older. Thank God the younger came to his senses. You know, it's a good day when anybody comes to their spiritual senses. It's a great day. Then there's a third thing I want you to see. Number three, we see for all his good qualities, we see him out of sorts with his loving father. That's perhaps his greatest infraction right there. This man loved him. This man loved that boy. When the eldest son came in from working all day, when he came in from doing his duties, the father announced that the younger son had come home, and he got angry. He was angry. It was his attitude towards his younger brother that caused this split between him and his father. The older brother knew that his daddy had been thinking of the younger son ever since he left. He knew that his dad had been praying for him to come home again. And he had even been sitting out on the porch just hoping and watching for the day when his son would come dragging home. And all the while, this older son had been diligent and faithful to his responsibilities. He stayed by the stuff. He just kept doing his duties. And now when the little spoiled brat comes home and his father got so excited over it, it caused the older brother just to explode with anger. And now we find the story has a second prodigal in it. Truth is, he went further away than his younger brother did. When you think about it, he was home, yet his heart was miles away from his own father. How often do we see the same thing happen in life? Two people may be near to each other and yet miles apart in their relationship. And that is what Jesus felt about those Pharisees to whom he was speaking. They were so near and yet so far away from the truth. So near to it, but so far away from it. Sitting in the very seat of Moses, they were strangers to the loving heart of God. Thronging the Father's house, they did not share the Father's yearning for the prodigal. Do you see that? I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of buildings around America that ought to be honest and take the word church off the sign. If you don't care about what the Father cares about, you don't have any right to call yourself a church. You can put country club up there if you want to. You can put fellowship up there if you want to. But don't call yourself a church. You see, the Lord Jesus, He saw those publicans. He saw those sinners. And they said, "Well, we like what you have to say. Would you come in our house and eat?" "Sure." And those that should have recognized Him, they're standing off over here at the side. And they didn't see the Father's heart. Why? They didn't have the Father's heart. You cannot see what you do not have. But they were diligent. They were obedient to their duties, just like this older brother. Now, there's one more thing I need you to see, and then I'll be done. We must never forget that the Father loved that older son just as much as He loved that younger son. You don't love one child more than you love another. You may treat them differently, but it's not because you love them differently. The Bible said, Solomon, wisest man in the world outside of Jesus, Solomon said, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart." And I remember years ago, sitting in Bible college, and old Jesse Boyd saying, what Solomon is saying here is, train a child in his own way. Train a child in his own way, and when he's old, he won't depart. Every child's different. And you have to treat them all differently. You know that to be true. I mean, my goodness, you got kids. But I want you to understand that this father, he loved that younger boy. And when that younger boy took off and ruined his life, it broke his heart. And now here he is with his older son standing face to face. And as he listens to this diligent, faithful, obedient son, when he listens to what comes out of his heart, he realizes, wow, that boy and I are miles apart. Don't you think his heart was broken? I'll guarantee you it was. You see, he was not lovable, but the Father still loved him. And I want you to see that the Father acted towards the older son the same way He acted towards the younger son. When the younger son came home, the Father ran out to greet him. But when they were inside for the party and the older son comes home and his daddy's sitting there looking at his sundial, and he sees that, man, that boy ought to be home by now. I wonder where he is. He looks around the hall. He's not there. So what did he do? He went out to find him. He went looking for him. Where you been? Where you been? And boy, that's when it all came apart. When the party was going on to celebrate the younger son's return, the father went searching for the older son to see where he was and why he wasn't at the party. I mean, think about it. He left the barbecue and all the festivities that were going on to go and find the son that should be there. He couldn't leave him out there alone, embittered, missing out on such a wonderful event. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Man, this is important. Look at this. It says, when the servant told the older brother what was going on. He was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out. But it doesn't end there, does it? It says, and entreated him. Do you know what the word entreat means? It means to beg. He begged him. He came out to see why he wasn't there. And his father, when he found him, entreated him. Now, I read about four different commentaries to find out what they thought of this. And all four of them emphasized this little phrase, and entreated him. They emphasized that and said that this was a very, very, very important gesture. Because as father, it was his prerogative to go and command that boy to come inside. You see, that father or that son was still under that father's authority as father. But he doesn't go out and command him to come in. He begs him to come in. You say, well, why would he do that? Look here. Here's the son. He's out there. He's angry. He's mad. He's got his teeth clenched. He's spitting nails. He's so mad. And the father comes out, and he said, and he can recognize. He sees his face. He knows he's mad. He's watched that boy grow up. He knows what's in that boy's heart. And as soon as he makes eye contact, he knows, uh-oh, the boy's upset. I was afraid he was going to act this way. So what's the father do? He could have said, boy, straighten up. And you get inside and make your brother feel welcome. Do you know God's not going to force any of us. He's not going to force any of us. So what does the father do? He begs him, son, please, please. Don't walk away from here angry, bitter, mad, feeling like you've been slighted, cheated. Don't do that. You walk away from here, you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life. Straighten it up, son, and come on inside. There's nothing like family. But you can't appreciate the family if your heart's not right. He entreated him. And in verse 31, we see the gentle touch of a father's love. What more could the father say? In verse 31, look at what he said. He said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. What more could he say? What more could a father say to his son? How could any son walk away from that? But he did. Sad, isn't it? The father gave the same standing to both boys. Why? Because they were both his boys. Now here's what I see, and I'm done. Both these boys were prodigals. Both of them. The elder brother, to me, seems less lovable than the younger brother. And the amazing thing to me is the way the Lord precisely through this parable, through this illustration, shows us how much the father loved the older son. There is no doubt he loved the younger son, but it is like the Lord goes the extra mile to show the father's heart towards the older boy. And the Lord Jesus, with this emphasis, is making the point that is just the way God is. He loves and he embraces folks who are not lovable. Even these ruthless, bitter, evil-hearted Pharisees who didn't love him were loved of God. And of course, that just ties right along with the whole message of Jesus. For God so loved the world. And that's everybody in it. Everybody in it. So you got two prodigals here. Folks, I tell you, if these guys didn't get it after this parable, my goodness. Can you see them now walking away, scratching their heads, and they're going, well, I'm certainly not like that younger son. I'm certainly not like him. I know I'm not like him. And then the Holy Spirit would begin to deal with hearts. Ooh, I must be like the older son. I hope you see the point tonight. Folks, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus was a master at telling the parable so that we could see ourselves as He sees us. When God looks at your heart, what does He see? The prodigal's older brother.